Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 282, part 2, the conclusion to Promise 4. Today is Sunday, March 10th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, see? Aren't we? Now the line is being drawn. Now, don't fall out on the floor. Now is the final battle. They talk about the Battle of Armageddon. We are in the battle right now. You know, you can always find an excuse to get out of the battle. But I believe there are more reasons for staying than excuses to leave. And the reasons are the promises of God, the covenant promises that will be fulfilled, the immutable things in which it is impossible to lie. We might have strong, it says, consolation, who have fled from refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So again, Isaiah, Paul wrote in Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That means that God has promised, and on the faithfulness of that promise, we build our confidence for time and for eternity. That's what we go on. That is our blessed hope. Not just a hope, not just a thank God it's Friday. But thank God for the opportunities which come our way on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and so on. And so now we that go for the promise can rest our salvation upon the promise of our faithful Creator. Now you're going to have to trust in the Lord. not just talking about going to meetings and shaking each other's hands. Praise the Lord. And all of this. And that's fine. I'm talking about the strong conviction that if you'll go out there and be fruitful, God will cause a multiplication table. And that if you'll go on the promise that if you'll be spent, I mean spent. I don't know if I want to live that way. I don't know. That sounds pretty rough. That sounds like too militaristic for me. Onward Christian soldiers, but I don't like the boots they wear, you know what I mean? No, the uniform of the day doesn't fit me, all right? I think you ought to cool it a little bit. Well, listen, you out there on listening on the radio to these tapes, and maybe I don't know where you're at, maybe in Africa or wherever, Latin America, whoever gets these, I don't know. But I'll just give it to you like this, you little thirsty promise thirsters. Do you believe the Bible? I think the cause of much weakness to many is that they don't treat the promises of God as realities. Well, when a friend makes a promise, you believe him. Why? Because you want to. You promise. Remember when you were kids? Okay. Should we do this? What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Okay. Okay, we'll do this. You want to do it? You'll be there at 8 o'clock? You promise? Sugar and cream and a cherry on top? You promise? I promise. You believe that? The cause for alarm is when we come into these hard times is that the reality of the whole thing is we have trouble believing in the promise of God. Don't we? And so we want to flit off to some self-imagined safeguard. I don't want to lose out. I got to have... What'll I have if I lose this? What is my alternative? What is my alternative to totally going broke here on the north side and no food coming in? That's a stupid thing to say. You just go on with the next day. Well, what would you do? What if it blew up or something? All these stupid questions, you know what I mean? You can even ask yourself these kind. What would I ever do if this happened to me? I don't know. I think I would die. That's why you don't know everything in advance. I'll tell you something. If I would have known my life in advance, I would have dropped out at 2 or 3 months old. Instead of spanking me, Doc, you mind beating me to death? See, but you take it one baby step at a time. Nini nani nunu into a conversation, into working for God, into becoming Christ-like, and you go on, and you get into a divine plane where it doesn't matter about your reputation because you're building a character in God. You go beyond it. Oh, my God, Christians, go beyond. Go beyond your mood. What's wrong with you?
Having a mood. Better me.
Some people are like people that get out of bed. They just, you know, sometimes you get out of bed, people are just mean when they get out of bed. Some people are like that all day long. They're walking around like a hot dog with a mattress wrapped around them. You know what I mean? A pillow in the back of that. Don't bother me! Oh, yeah, they're sleepwalking. They don't want to do anything. Hey, if you... can't make them happy, make them mad. They'll get up off it one way or another, right? The guy confronted me last week. He says, you know what you do down there is dumb. Well, Well, I says, I've never been noted as being an intellectual anyway, so. What's your problem here? Well, I says, as dumb as it may seem to you, I'm just going to keep on being a dummy and keep right on doing it. Why is that? Because God wants me to. Then he went on to say, he says, well, I'll tell you what, I could get rid of you if I wanted to. Well, he says, run home, get your gun, don't talk about it. Suspense kills me worse than the shot, okay? I don't know why I shared that with you, but that's the way I am. Come on now. Who cares? Someone has got to be dumb enough to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone has got to be a dummy. My dad used to say, dummy. He was Greek and he couldn't get dummy out there. Don't be dummy. Woo! Praise God for a few dummies. But anyway, when a friend makes a promise, we believe him. Why? Because we want to. But it seems like God's declarations are viewed as so many words which mean very little. Oh yeah, I read the Bible every morning about, I take 5 minutes. And I say, God, this is your 5 minutes. Yeah, I believe in that. This is not only dishonoring to God, but injurious to ourselves. Rest assured, folks, that the Lord will not trifle with his words. Hath he said, and will he not do it? Where were you when I was sick and a prison and a widowed, and where were you? When I was a hungered. We didn't know. Depart from me, I don't even know you. I don't know you because I never met you, because that suffering baby or that family that was suffering, or the people that were suffering, or whatever, when you didn't meet their need, you didn't meet my need. You were looking at Jesus right there. Wherever they're suffering, that's where I am. I am in prisons. I am in mental institutions. I am where the whore is, and I am where the people, the sinners are. I go where the sinner is. You didn't meet their need. You were too busy judging. You were too busy with your long black robes of self-righteousness to see the real need. So where were you? And then that you didn't do it to the least of mine. Bye-bye. Hath he said, and will he not do it? His engagements are always kept. And here again, he does it out of love and not duty. God enjoys keeping his promises. I think the man who gives 1 hour of his life to loving is doing more for humanity than all the soldiers doing something out of duty. They interpret someone who leaves his post when needed as a coward. One who should be shot. And they are worshipers of duty. They have, the Bible says, a form of religion denying the power thereof. That's like, I always thought it was so stupid. The captain of a ship goes down with the ship, and he stands. Everybody else is swimming for the pieces of wood and barrels and stuff. And there's the captain going down with the ship. Because it's his duty. You can give your body to be burnt, but if you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. See, duty is that hard mechanical force making men do things that love would make easy. Isn't it easier when you love to do it? Isn't it easy when you're like the, what was it, seven dwarves? We gotta go to work. It's out of duty. How many are hearing this? That Ishmael crowd, that elder son crowd, that law bunch. And so duty is a very poor understudy to love. It is not a high enough motive with which, let's say, to inspire humanity. You can't inspire somebody if you're doing it out of duty. Look at Huckleberry Finn. If you're not having fun, who's going to want to do what you're doing? What are you doing? We're packing bread. We put two buns in there, and we put two rolls in there, and we fill them up, and then we give them to the people. And there's a gospel message on there. You want to help? Or, what are you doing? Packing bread. Two buns, two rolls. Stuff them in there. Make sure they don't get double portions of sweets. Want to help? No, thanks. Think I'll go die someplace else. Isn't that dead? You know why you pray over your food? You go on in a cafe in there and there's a too over easy. American fries. Side of sausage and some toast. All right. Wham! Whips it together. It's got a curse on it. You better pray over that stuff. Bless that. Are you a curse? That's like packing all these bags. If you do it out of duty, there's no love in that bag. There's a bag back there that doesn't have no salmon in it. Salmon coming up! Try to hit the bag back there instead of, which one is it? I thought I got them all. You ever seen somebody like that? And they just, let's see now, did we? I think we got them all here. Oh, I did miss one. Huh. Thanks a lot for telling me. Or who cares? One didn't get any salmon in it. Yeah, okay, I'll put it in there. Did you ever go to the grocery store and somebody, can I help you pack your bags here? Isn't that wonderful when they do that? You appreciate that when all of a sudden they're not doing anything and the grocery man says, go over and help them pack their bags. And go, can I help you pack your bags? Can I help you carry them out? Sure. Have a nice day now. Instead of people standing over there by the counter, probably smoking or something. Tired of these creeps coming in here pushing these carts all over. They're all over the parking lot. Get out of here. This one here, watch what she does. You take the cart all the way down there, put it right behind a car. Yeah, I know. I hate these people. Huh? Is that right or is that wrong? And we judge everybody by one person. Well, you know how those people are. Hey, there's always a stinker in the group. Maybe you're the stinker today. Isn't that right? Maybe you're the stinker today, just so that you'll know how the stinker feels for being a stinker. You ever been a stinker? Stinkers? Right? Huh? Is that right? Hey, my toe's getting healed. Walking on it pretty good. I can even bend it now. Look at that. I love it. It was getting healed because I didn't do it out of duty. Okay, gosh, what? I got a cramp in my leg. Ooh. I'll suffer for the cause of Christ. All right, listen up. Now see, love is lacking so many times. Even the world knows when you're doing something out of duty. They know it. They know it. Because they, wherever they go, there's people that do things out of duty. Right? They know. Because your smile is crooked. You ever have a crooked smile? May I help you? Huh? Is there a nursery rhyme like that? There was a crooked man that had a crooked smile? Something like that. The knuckles are white. The vein neck, the veins right here in your neck are a popping. The conversation is quick and to the point. Love is lacking. Duty is the body to which love is the soul. And I believe that love transmits all duties into privileges and all responsibilities into joys. Can I do it? And so we have a God that feels privileged to keep his promises. His responsibility gives him joy. I have taken on a responsibility of this promise. And it gives me great joy to see it fulfilled through my son, through us. It gives me great joy, and I'm going to see it's done. And so his promises keep us moving on in faith, don't they? We too, I think, should love to share God's promises. Maybe you hate, maybe you're listening on the radio. Do you hate to take on responsibilities? Maybe like just telling someone about the promises of God. Do you think it's your duty? Have you ever met someone that witnesses out of duty? I had a young man go out one time. Guy says, no, I don't want a track. Well, he says, you don't want that track? Got the salvation message in it. I won't see you in heaven. You're going to hell. Good day. A sort of a duty. It's like a workman drops all of his tools, a bell ring, doop, drops everything and runs. Because it's a duty. Doesn't even finish patching up that plaster hole. Is it half full and the mud is running down the wall? Huh? And leaves it. There's the bell rang. Why didn't you finish it? Well, it's time to go home. Why didn't you put out that fire? Oh, it was my gig was up. I mean, I've been at the fire station 2 days and two nights eating that garbage up there. My time was up. Why did you leave that person under that truck and only jacked it up halfway? Hey, my time was up. I got things to do. Are you understanding there's a difference between duty and the taking on the responsibility for the joy that is before you, going by the promise? Why do you do it? Because you want recognition? You want to complain about how much time you've donated? Guy drove in the lot the other day. Drove his truck in. He had a young man with him. He says, got some food here for you. I says, real good. I says, I'm giving away this furniture. And this young man, can he help you here? Guy got out and says, I'm donating my time! And the guy that was working with me says, well, what do you think we're doing here? And I said, yeah, that's true. That's really great. You're donating your time. I thought, I'm not going to argue with this guy. He says, let's get some barrels and we'll start loading up. And he, even as we unloaded it, he could not quit. You couldn't turn him off? I mean, a shot in the head wouldn't have turned this man off. He came in to fight. You ever been around somebody that comes in for a fight? Waiting for you to say the wrong thing. You ever been around somebody that waits for you to say the wrong thing? And they'll sort of fish you into a saying the wrong thing? Their little pet peeve maybe or something? And his pet peeve was that he might have to unload about 300 pounds of food. He wouldn't shut up. Finally, I says, hey, take it easy. We're all done now. It's all unloaded. It's sitting over here. We're all done. He drove away talking. Donating my time! Donating my time! The truck was sort of wobbling like an old cartoon as he was leaving. I think even when people give food away like that, and it's got that kind of an attitude on it, it's sort of wilted. Cabbage is hanging down. Donated time brought this over. Huh? And the tomatoes were kind of just laying in the box. Some of them were kind of wet. Over here was a celery, and the celery stalks were kind of... I'm not kidding you. As soon as I said, well, we're not giving food away today, but we got some over here that you can... Freely you can have it. The melons got harder. The celery went... Tomatoes started jiggling in the box a little bit. I'm not kidding you. And people rejoiced and picked it up and everything. Boy, were them vegetables glad to get out of that old duty donated help truck. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Isn't it nice to have somebody at the pet hospital that does things because they want to do a good job. They want you to come in and take a look and say, and not only that, but isn't it? Am I the only crazy one? Sometimes I think I am crazy. Ooh. That's like I was at the hospital and there was a mother waiting up there for this little one who was dying, the baby was dying. And she had been there for months. This little one had some kind of disease and was dying. It was no burden to her at all. But then someone that was on duty, the nurse on duty, where's the duty roster? Who's on duty today? Not that all nurses are like that. But in the economy of the Ishmael world, a lot of that is like that, isn't it? Isn't it? How's that little one doing over in 216? and go in there while you're snapping on gum, see, and this little one's laying there with puffed up eyes and bloated stomach and purple little feet. Chewing on this gum. And can leave there and get in an argument with somebody after seeing this little, an argument about somebody, about they took too long on their break. When do I get a break around here? And here's this mother sitting there. How about giving this mother a break? And quit your job. Your duty. Give us a break and leave. I told a father that one time. He came, he says, you know, my kid, I mean, everything I do, nothing is good enough. I ask him to do this or that, and it's kind of like he does it out of, he has to, like a duty, I said. Well, I says, why don't you tell him to do you a favor and just go away? Son, will you do me a favor? What now? Will you move? I'm making you so unhappy. Will you just go? Doesn't seem like anything I do can make you happy, so why don't you go? Please? Don't you think there's people on jobs that should be just asked to do yourself and the world a favor? I was going to say drop dead, but that wouldn't be too Christian. And just go? No, I mean, you're so unhappy here. Go. Please. Isn't that right? No, call upon him and let me lock it up here. And God isn't going to say, okay, so I promise. That doesn't mean I have to keep it. I'm God. No, God speaks deliberately, and he speaks in due order and in determination, and we may depend upon it that his words, it says, are sure and always will be fulfilled. Are you hearing this message today? It must be done. God says, I have promised. Have you heard any of this message today at all? Well, you might lose your joy temporarily. But you have to go on the promise. See, it's like a title deed. You may read it over and over and get a lot of great joy out of it. You may lose that letter, but you don't lose the right. You can't enjoy reading it, but you still are joint heirs with Christ. And I think you're going to see in the end a lot of events that are going to shake believers' sense of security. But the sure seed of it all is the promise. Our greatest possession is not our present, let's say, confidence or comfort. We receive from the promise, and it isn't that, goes beyond that. It's in the promise itself. It's locked up in that promise. Have you heard this message today? God is fulfilling his promises. I talked, and I'll close with this, to a father that said, well, you know, I gave my son food and shelter and clothes. And he told me some of the other things he had done, and I thought to myself, well, jail gives that. What your boy needed was a promise. I think parents who just do their duty stink. And so do Christians who are just doing their duty. That's like your little ones, your kids. Sue, you know, or Debbie, you know you're not doing it out of a duty. You're doing it out of love. It shows up in the kids, doesn't it? How many kids right now are running around with that feeling of rejection? Now, Christianity is based on love and not duty. And yes, the promises will lead us to love, but the legal duty will lead us to death, the Bible says. And so we must forget trying to persuade the Ishmael crowd, the bitter, the resentful, the hateful elder sons, who do their duty but leave out love and who cannot receive the promise unconditionally. And so now let's don't rebel against God ourselves by not obeying Him because we don't see the fulfillment of the promise right now. Simply, the Bible says, plow and sow and pray and believe the promise that a harvest will come. Preach the great gospel and its promises. And in due season, the Bible says, that which you have done will reap a reward. I hope that you heard this message today. There's a lot of difference between doing something out of love and doing something out, and not that we won't fall into that kind of an attitude ourselves because of the pressures, but we get convicted and we have a heart change and we change the direction almost immediately. Well, not quite. Sometimes we have to go to bed and not sleep all night, then we change it. And so it's not duty, but it's a privilege to follow after God in these dark times. And they are going to get so dark, there's going to be no visible proof that God is even around. You know what I mean? It'll just be so filthy and so perverted and so look like nothing is that, and people are going to get crazy. Have you noticed that? That people are just kind of like crazy? How many in here have crazy days? I do. Say, what's wrong with you, Pastor Paul? I'm having a crazy day. Excuse me, I'm going to go chain myself to the wall. Well, you mean you have crazy days? You're a preacher. You should never get mad. I said, well, I'm a mad preacher right now. Isn't that crazy? I know I should believe in the promise, but right now I'm livid purple. All colors of the rainbow. Maybe they'll even help you out and give you a black eye. Well, we do have crazy days, but I'm talking about, just think about the world right now when there's going to come a cycle of craziness like you've never seen before. People are going to go totally berserk. It's coming. I can feel it. It's in the air. And you know what it is? It's when people lose the promise and they don't go on love unconditionally and they get into a whole lot of debate and gossip and hatred and slander and whatever else is of the flesh, the Ishmael attitudes. And they get into this thing and they go like they are crazy. Tell you right now, the world has got a very short fuse. About that long. It's going to take one nut to light that light up that match of confusion and set it off. You got the promise to go on. And if you'll seek ye first the kingdom of God, all other things will be added unto you. I'm not talking about having pink Cadillacs, but you'll have peace and you'll have love and you'll have joy and righteousness, it says, in the Holy Ghost. Not in yourself, in the Holy Ghost. Now, is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior? You can know Him. Are you born again, young man? Born again. I'm going to pray with you before you leave. Are you born again back there? Born again? What's your name?
Rodney.
Rodney, I'm so glad you came today. Just pray after me, okay? Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Okay. Dear Lord Jesus.
I am a sinner. Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
Save me.
And baptize me. In God's Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Rodney, the Bible says, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart like you did, that Jesus Christ is Lord, they'll be saved. It's a simple message. Never let anybody say that you're not on your way to heaven. It's a simple message.
There you have it. That was episode 282. That was part two, the conclusion to Promise 4. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. And if you miss any episodes, you can always go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, 282 episodes to date. You're also going to find the show notes, scripture links, at the blog. So have a great week. We'll see you back here next Friday for Promise 5. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Somebody.
You Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. And it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.